you know, we were looking at building out on this, you know, two walls on the side and the back and putting a concrete planking system on it, you know, and that'd be about the only way we could get something in there. And as far as the, I don't know if you had anything more to say about the garage or...
Well, yeah, then we can get some additional storage, because they're short. They just have no room for storage. I mean, you've been out there.
Yeah.
And that way they can get some off-season storage and different things. And then when we level that out, because it's right now it's on holding tanks, and we talked to the health department, and they want to take and put a drain field, if we can, right behind it.
Okay.
And then, you know, get rid of the holding tanks.
And I've already petitioned them.
Yeah, we've already talked to them.
So. And where would that potentially go in relationship to the garage that you're requesting?
It.
Behind it, yeah.
Down the hill?
Yeah, when we dig that down, we'll be able to create a flat area there.
Okay.
Possibly. Oh. And then we'll put the drain field right in that area is what we're trying to do.
Right. Okay.
Are the holding tanks there currently? In that garage spot?
No.
Where are they?
Side of the road.
Oh, I see.
And they've got like a little, it's like a little makeshift trench. It's like blocks that are built up, and then they just kind of, it's like a little old dry well, I guess you'd call it, and then they just dump the wastewater in there. So this should probably make it a little better to do that.
Be an upgrade. Maybe.
Be an upgrade for sure.
A larger septic in too.
It's just kind of update the tank and the field and, you know, just make it a more...
So then you'll have to do the drain under the road then?
It is right now. It does go under the road, so we'll just extend it on down and go in behind the garage. Because the holding tanks are on the south side of the road, and that little thing is right on, just on the other side of the road, buried. And that's like one reason why we got to move it, because the garage will be...
It's like an overflow or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like an old... And we'll have to tear that out of there so that we can put the garage in. It's kind of right underneath the 1 hour.
Oh, okay.
Does that pretty much cover your request for the garage variance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now would you speak about your second variance request?
Well, we were looking to take off the current bedroom that we have, and then we were hoping to just extend the wall right up to the 10-foot line towards my son's house and then do a dug-up walkout, I guess you'd call it, here on the bottom here, mm-hmm. for some utilities and more storage and that, and then we would build a new bedroom right where, essentially where the other one is, with a bathroom right behind it, okay. And then we're on top of that, so that'd be at ground level, and then on top of that we wanted to put one more level on so we could add one more bedroom, so we'd at least be at two bedrooms then.
Okay, thank you.
So the first story would be a full 8 foot or whatever, 7 foot, and then the second story, and then the third story.
Mm-hmm. Right, it'll be a walkout basement, 8 foot. Yeah,
if not,
you can see that from
pretty much on current grade.
Yeah, we're not going to do anything crazy.
Okay.
And what they'd like to do is kind of where the existing cabin is, we just run that right parallel, run the front of that with the new addition, so it wouldn't go out in front of it, just be, you know, right in line with existing home.
Okay.
That takes up, I think, that 11 feet.
All right. And is the bathroom that you're proposing an additional bathroom compared to the existing home?
We have a bathroom in the main part of the home here by the kitchen, in the old original part.
Okay.
It's a little tiny.
Yeah, a little, real small one, but we'd like to put one off the master bedroom there, too.
So there'll be two baths, then?
Two baths, yeah.
Then that'll service both the bedrooms upstairs and then the main, you know, and master.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Please stand by for questions that may arise. At this time, we'll open up the request to the public. If anybody would like to speak or ask questions, here's your opportunity. All right. Yes, sir.
Weaver said that we gave 10 feet of our property to run this out on. And we're like, no. So I'm not sure where it all balled up. You got a septic in, and Charlie did, where he walked there, was not very, same way ran down that way. So that's what I'd like to do too in the future, to use mine for stuff.
Okay.
I was kind of curious about that. And, I wanted to tell Eric I appreciate him snowblowing this winter. Really appreciate that. And like I said, as long as the garage is, you know, 10 feet away from there, and like I said, he's going to have a garage, because that's my big main concern. Where are you going to park? Hopefully park in the garage, you know. But, you know, it's real narrow back there.
Yes.
I just don't, that's my only concern. So, and like I said, the subject where he's going now, I'm aware of it more. Because I'm worried about a well. So I'm going to have to put a well in there. It's been there for 43 years ago.
Okay.
So that's just my concern, but now I know where it is, so things should be fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment, sir. And at this time, we'll close the discussion to the audience and open it up for the board.
We can do question and answer back and forth.
Yes, sir.
The storage area, talking about the garage, I believe the application said that it would be, if you will, two stories, but it's basically two levels. The storage area would be below, which is why you're talking about having a dox plank system in place of pre-stressed concrete slabs. So, what is the extent that you believe you would run utilities in there? In a sense, you know, you'd have electric in there so you can see where you're going, so it's not a bump in the night. Is there anything else you plan on running in there?
We had talked about, my wife still works, okay, and she works, she's a quality assurance supervisor for Beaumont System downstate. But she could work from home, mm-hmm. which is what she does now. And so we were talking about putting an office on above that garage level, too. So probably like a small bathroom in there, you know, just for use in that, too. But she does all her work up there, and believe me, she needs to be by herself isolated here. So without distractions, so that would be the only thing we'd be doing above that. The garage is, you know, putting in, tying into that septic there and put in a, you know, a half bath or whatever it is. And,
okay.
To that. And, but otherwise, that'd be about all we'd be doing. We're just looking to store a couple of cars, place to work on, work bench back in the back.
And just for the record, Devery Lane basically dead ends at your homes, so there's no traffic concerns.
If there's any traffic going past, there's got to be an ATV or something.
Okay.
Driving fast.
Right.
So it's all state land on the other side.
The
woods behind us with our
Does that make a difference? Unless
so
it's a private road.
Mm-hmm. So it's serviced by the, you know, but there's an association there, you know,
right.
The George Trail Association, mm-hmm. We don't pay dues. They come in and keep the roads up and grade it and brine it and all that stuff.
So the garage is going to be three stories as well?
Yeah, one will be underground. That'll just be, because I've been told as far as construction costs, it costs just as much for to fill it in and try to draw, put a slab on it, than it does to keep it open.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to do like a 12-foot wall or better in the back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Instead of doing that, and then we might use part of that fill to kind of create that flat area for mm-hmm. the drain field.
Okay.
So to kind of catch two birds with one stone doing that.
And okay.
Then they got room for stuff on the lake and stuff in the wintertime that they don't use.
Okay.
We're putting the storage now. It's like mm-hmm. nothing. It was just an old Bel Air originally.
Okay.
Well, the reason I ask is, you know, your application says, you know, two-story detached residential
right.
garage with storage above. And I thought, well, first of all, with the topography out there, for the exact point you're saying, you got to go down far enough in order to get a proper foundation in there without dumping in loads of fill to bring that up. And then how would that, you know, even though that's not necessarily a zoning issue, but with that ravine that's back there, there's a natural, you know, created a natural culvert through there. So what would the, you know, and being as close to the water as you are, how that would impact, though that's not our department.
Should be far enough away from that to where we won't impact that.
Okay. Yeah, that's between you and soil and erosion, right?
Well, yeah, it's not us. It'd be the DEQ that you, DEQ or the county soil erosion department you'd be talking to as far as any, you know, earth moving permits there, because it's within 500 feet and they don't care if it slopes to it or slopes away from it. It's, are you within 500 feet of a body of water? Yes. Could we want to talk to you? And but that'll be, you know, again, that's them, that's their department. So I'm not too worried about that. But I, at the minimum, yeah. And that's just good practice regardless. So, okay. And then the, now you talk about a two-story addition to the residence, so moving across the street. But that two stories is main level and then below, correct? Not
two stories above grade.
Plus, so two stories above grade.
And one down.
And one down, right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, there's not a current basement there. Or current, yeah.
So it won't be a lot. We're going to have to come over about 4 feet from the existing, you know, and then bring in the wall. So what we'll have for storage down there won't be a lot. But like I said, it's just, they're just not enough. You know, they want to get every little bit they can.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing a crawl space or a slab, they thought, and we mm-hmm. may end up having to do that. We'll have to see. You know, we thought we'd ask for it, and we'll do a site determination. We may end up not being able to do it. We don't know for sure yet.
Okay.
Well, as long as they have permission, then
right.
It's better than finding, oh, we could. Now let's go see if we can get permission, and you're already shovels in the ground and
right.
having an issue.
Then
yeah.
you've got to stop.
No. Yeah. Right. Yeah, especially for the cost of the application. It's not that bad. So, okay.
Well, basically what we're talking about is the variance for the setback.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it's just knowledge for our...
Right.
No, but it's good to understand it.
Yeah,
I mean,
ahead.
If I hadn't gone out to the site,
I'm glad,
this did I'm not explain it.
The septic.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That's
our,
a huge. Yeah, that's
we're
huge.
We're always trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I only wanted to clarify because when you start hearing about, well, it's above, and one over, it's a dock's plank, which means you're typically going below.
Right.
So yeah. How many stories?
So
and
it's
how
not a two-story.
You know, it doesn't.
Well, it is a two-story. You don't count the basement as one of the stories.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Not in the ordinance.
Oh, okay.
So it's a two-story
right.
with a basement.
Right.
I see.
Right.
I see.
And our only point was only that on-grade single story exists currently.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the piece that was added on looks like it's got at least a frost wall.
Yeah, that's what Ken Weaver did, when he purchased that for his apartment. Mm-hmm. Added that bedroom.
Yeah. Additional questions?
No, I'm pretty good with it. I think they supplied us with some nice pictures showing us what some of their neighbors have, which
mm-hmm.
we all have
mm-hmm.
seen. And after looking at the layout of the property and stuff, you can definitely see he's working within a pretty confined little box.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to make a motion if you're ready for it.
All right.
And
yes.
The survey is, one of the better drawings than we normally get.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job there.
Yeah.
So I'd make
that.
A motion that we approve it as it meets all of the basic conditions and meets special condition number 2.
Okay. And I'll support that.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passed.
Yeah, you'll have a problem with other boards.
Because
we're not the building. We're not the drain commission.
You're not going to have problems. You just have to go see them.
You're going to have problems. Watch them get on our phone. Give them a problem.
No.
But hopefully you'll get through because it'll be nice to hear the holding tanks. That's
yeah.
The
yeah
that's the planning commission to get all the holding tanks off the lakes.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are a real
good.
Detriment to the area.
That addressed both parts.
Yep.
Work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's on a tank.
Well, it's a small tank.
A really small tank.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Okay, and now we're on to appeal request 4-18, Schichtel Trust, K. Schichtel, owners. Robert W. Bratt, Esquire, of Bratt Settles and Bratt PC Attorneys, authorized agent for Schichtel Trust, K. Schichtel, trustee, on a parcel of land commonly known as 855 Parsons Road, Traverse City, property identification number 28-03-570-042-00. This request is for the resumption of a previously non-conforming use. Specifically, the business currently operating on the parcel at one time had signage, but over the years, the business remained for 50-plus years, and signs were added and removed several times. The property is located in low-density residential, where commercial business and signage is not allowed. The applicant is seeking to add signage back to the property, specifically requesting a 24-square-foot freestanding illuminated sign where the post from the original sign is located, plus a 24-square-foot logo, business name, window sign. So first, would you like to speak, Mr. Bratt?
Yes, thank you.
And, sir, could you please tell us your name and address for the record?
Sure. I'm Ryan Quinn. My address, I live in Kingsley. I'm at 7322 Ray Road,
okay.
Kingsley.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm the attorney for Kay Schichtel. She is the trustee of her father's trust. George Schichtel started a business there over 50 years ago and continued the same business until he passed away. Since that time, and that was 15 years ago, I think. And then he leased it before he passed away to a gentleman named Kirby Sanborn, and he's continued the same business. It's essentially just car repairs. The building is the same size as it's always been. There's been no changes in the building. The internal side and internal part of the building is the same. It's just basically set up to do car repairs. The plan is just to have a sign. What's happened is Kirby Sanborn has leased it for about 15 years. There's two daughters of George Schichtel. Their mom passed away last year. And those live in Chicago. They want to continue to lease the building and that business for a while. How long, I don't know. They've worked out of lease arrangements with Ryan. And Ryan is a certified master mechanic. He worked with Kirby, the previous owner, worked there for 6-plus years. And so he's very familiar with the operation. He will tell you that he's not planning on changing anything. He's not going to do a different type of business. In fact, he's probably would be there less than 100% because he goes out and helps people that have a breakdown of their car because he's able to do that and haul them back to get fixed, that sort of thing. what he's requesting is a two-sided sign, and there is a big circular thing, I think, that you saw when you're down there. There's posts that are still there. Back in the beginning, George Schichtel had a Shell sign, and he had a Shell station, and he had that for many years. I don't know when he stopped the Shell station and just did the repairs, but it's been quite a long time since. The water's been up from the Shell sign until the end of the application. And so there's been at least two areas where they've had signs in the past. And the reason Kirby, the previous person that's been there, had a pretty active business. He was well known. He worked with George Schichtel, so it didn't change much until now, where Ryan wants to take it over. The people don't necessarily know him. I know he worked there in the back, but what he wants to do is continue the exact same. He wants to sign it away so that people driving by will see that there is a business there. That's his business. He wants to put about a 24-square-foot sign out where a pole, and then put that up where the other sign was before. It is 15 feet back from the road, which is a requirement. In your zoning ordinance, if you have an industrial district, you can have a 40-foot square sign. And there is in your residential, there is a provision for 24 square foot signs for if you're advertising, you have a subdivision and you want to put where it is and advertise it, you can have a 24 square foot sign. Now, he has mentioned, and we put it in the application, he can live with a sign that's a little bit smaller than that. It's not necessary to have some big sign. The sign's not going to be lighted in flash or anything. It will be lighted at night. And so, mainly so people driving back and forth on that road, Parsons Road, can see the business and look and see where it is. Now, as far as lighting those, I guess what he's requesting is that he wants whatever restriction he wants so the lighting doesn't bother the neighbors. The only neighbor, as Mrs. Bartlett probably knows, is where she used to live, across the street on the other side. The property in the back, there's nothing back there. There's somebody way back owns vacant land. On the other side, the Schiptel sisters own that lot, big lot, and they do put some of the cars there to store them while they're being worked on. And so there isn't any, as far as we're concerned, there isn't any neighbors that would have a problem with that. I don't know what the problem would be because there's been signs there for the past. And he also wants a sign, again, maybe 12 this page, something like that, in the window. This will just be probably a circular sign as the design came up with, having somebody put that together. And it's just so you can see from the road that there is where that, you know, it's if you're going by and you can't see the sign up here, well, you can see that one. And that one is not going to be lighted. It's just going to be in the window. I was trying to decide whether to, you know, paint it to some of the sign or just stick the sign. I don't know. He can explain what he's planning to do there. I don't think that this interferes with anything previously. The reason we're here is because, you know, this business has been grandfathered in for 50-plus years, and, you know, the signs aren't allowed in a residential district, but it's a variance that we request that is a non-conforming use, but we do request a variance because of the fact that he is, even though it doesn't appear to be residential when you've got the school across the street and all the traffic you get on that road, but it is residential. So that's the main purpose. Let's see if I had anything else here. And whatever rules you have about the lighting is fine. I know there's some detailed things there. We'll comply with whatever that is. If you need a screen, so it just, you know, it's not going to bother anybody. That's the main thing. We don't think it, based on your ordinance, not contrary to public interest or the general intent of the ordinance. Isn't going to, like I said, it shouldn't have a substantial adverse effect upon properties in the immediate area. That's another requirement. And the practical difficulties of if he doesn't have a sign, he may not be able to get a decent business going there. He's pretty worried about that. And he may have to move out and chin up the girls to try to find somebody else. And we'll just keep going with that whole thing. But he likes the place, and he'll tell you what his plans are, okay? And it's just because he, you know, people can't find where he is if they call or, you know, whatever, and then he can't advertise this as where I'm at. So that's the main reason for that, okay?
Thank you. Mr. Quinn, would you please tell us about the sign that you plan on your building, and then just a bit about what your
sure
general plans are.
Well, I guess the sign on my building, you know, I intend to paint it on the window to give it kind of a classical gas station sort of look. I'm thinking, I'm working on a round kind of logo now, so something, you know, maybe this size or something. I guess I don't have exact numbers for you. Whatever this is, if you got tape measure, I'll hold my arms up.
About that. From this distance.
So, and I wasn't even thinking of that. Someone mentioned it, and when we were trying to figure the sign thing out, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool. It gives it kind of that look. It's an old, really classic gas station building. I thought it would be nice. I guess a sign is pretty important there. I used to work there. I actually left for a while, and now I've kind of wandered my way back. But when I worked there, the sign was a big problem when I was there. I think Kirby's business actually deteriorated because of that. He had an older clientele that, you know, were in. They knew that business had been there in Traverse City for 60 years. And, you know, it was all about history, and it was all, you know, that was George's place, and Kirby that was over on 8th and Front there. And so he lost a lot of business. A lot of people were confused about the location. You know, we had people that would turn around in our driveway every day, but they didn't know that that was the business. I've heard that before. You know, people were very confused about the location. So I think even for his business, it was a real detriment to not have a sign there. That's why I think a sign's really important to that business. Granted, it's grandfathered in, but, you know, some kind of sign so that people can be aware of it. And I'm trying not to, I don't want a big flashy anything. I'm really just going for acknowledgement of the businesses there, even on the lighting aspect. The minimal amount of lighting I can get away with that people can kind of see it, you know, in the later hours, maybe when they go by that and catches their eye. But I don't want to over illuminate it either, you know, and even though I can maybe have the brightest bulb on the planet Earth, I just as soon pick a bulb that, you know, just kind of very subtle, you know, is what I'm going for. And I'm trying not to be obnoxious. I'd like to put on a post, probably the post height about maybe 8 feet, because all vehicles that would drive, you know, by the sign then would be able to see underneath the sign. And I think for a car business where cars are constantly driving in and out, that's a good thought. But rather than having it down more at like eye level, you know, it just helps for people getting in and out of the driveway. On a little side note, we found some old shell signs at the building. They were about 5x5, and so they're about 25 square feet, and I'm pretty positive they had to be up at that building at one time. I can't prove that with pictures, but they did exist on the property there. So just another little tidbit for you. So, I think that covers it. If you have any other questions, I intend to operate standard hours, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. You know, nothing abnormal, really, as far as that goes. Same amount of business that was there for the most part, you know.
Okay.
I don't intend to increase it. There's a 10-car limit in the parking area, so obviously there's only going to be so many cars there, you know. I guess if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them for you.
Can I mention just one more thing?
Of course.
I saw in your ordinance, I think, 20 feet high is the maximum for a sign, and the intent is just to get it high enough so it's higher above the cars there, so the people driving won't have a sign blocked by the vehicles that are in the parking lot. So 15 feet, something like that, would be fine.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Leslie.
The 20-foot is for regional business and professional office, not for residential.
Okay.
8-foot is what is allowed in residential.
Thank you.
Would that be would that be 8 foot to the top of the sign? Okay.
That's good to know.
All right.
Yes, it is. Okay, thank you both. Please stand by for potential questions.
Sure.
Anybody in the audience like to speak about this application?
I'm Dennis Bartlett, the other owner of Holly Street.
Yes, sir.
And my concern comes in is that as we lived there for 19 years, that area has always been the nicest area to be able to look at the sunsets. Okay? Well, now they just put the big, tall electrical poles up there now higher, which kind of blocks that view. And I'm just concerned that if we have too bright of lights or lights there that could be potentially come LED lights later on or whatever, you know, I don't know. But I'm just saying is that I'm more concerned about the lights being on later in the evening. Not sure that that part is necessary on the road sign, but why not, in my opinion, allow the left signs to be lit facing south? Because that's towards nobody's residential area. And that would light up as cars go by at night and be able to see what is going on there.
Okay.
I do agree that that business has always suffered for not having good signage. I don't deny that at all. I think it was taken out when they took out the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Is when I remember it being removed. I would also say that the overall, just not knowing what the business is because they didn't have signs has hurt the business over years, too. And it's more of a word-of-mouth type business because of the lack of signage.
Okay.
So I just, you know, I just have a little concern about the lighting and blocking the view from the house because the house faces that actual business. But there is no other businesses in that area that have that type of signage either.
Right.
So, you know, I go back and forth each way. You know, to be honest, I mean, you know, I'll be glad that.
So it's not the signs, it's the lighting that you're worried about.
I'm kind of more concerned about the lighting at night, you know, or, you know, dusk where you want to see. That's got such a beautiful sunset area, and I just have always enjoyed that. And you know, not so much the opposed to the signage, but more somewhat of the lighting. But again, like I said, you put it on the building and face itself. I wouldn't even see it, and it actually needs some security lighting over there because I know I've seen a lot of people come and park out there at different times kind of questioning what are they doing out there, not knowing if they were stealing parts off cars, what all they were doing out there parking lot. So.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we'll close public comment and open this up to the board for questions and discussion, and I'd like to start, please, by asking Leslie if there's any measurable way to come up with lighting that would be effective and not obtrusive.
Before that, I mean, we're asking for a variance to allow signage.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
He would apply for a permit.
But he has to comply with.
He would have to comply with our lighting rules and our signage rules, which are dark sky, which means no light from signs can emit from anywhere off the border of the property.
Okay.
For one thing.
Size?
What?
What's the size limits he's at?
He can only go to 24 square feet, which we advertise.
Okay.
So
24 square feet in the pole?
It would be part of the land use permit on the lighting. And we're currently using AMA regulations, which is the softer light, so that it's working really well with a lot of the new signs down on the bay.
Okay, so it's not as harsh like a
exactly.
Light
it's
LED.
A glow more than a light.
Okay. Is the pole going to be allowed?
Uh-huh.
The pole would be allowed.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think the pole. I thought we'd have to. Get
but the maximum height of the pole, or including any, if for example he has a round sign and it's not backlit, it's lit by armatures that come over and light the face of it, shining down on it.
Then it has to be full cut off. So all four sides would have to be cut off, except for the part coming out. Our lighting is full cut off.
Oh.
But that would still, you'd put a little spotlight right on the sign.
Yeah, you can do that.
That's what I'm talking about, you know, if you had it shrouded over. But what I'm asking is, you know, because Ryan, correct?
Yep.
Mentioned a very reasonable concern of sight lines for vehicles pulling in and out,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, at the site as well as here in the meeting, that maybe having 8 foot to the bottom of the sign, but I believe it has been said that the in that area, the tallest we can go is...
I'm looking right now.
Okay.
I guess I'm not 100% sure, but I don't see just a little... if the pole is 8 foot and my sign is 4 to 5 feet tall, I'm still going to be below the roof line of the building, I suspect. I guess I didn't put a tape measure on it, but I know the ceiling height inside the building is 12 feet. So, you know, for whatever that's worth, I guess.
But the sign, you know, a freestanding sign for a district that doesn't traditionally allow a sign, then we have, you know, there are still standards to follow within the sign, so it's not necessary, you know, the height of the building. You raise a very great concern, and I appreciate that you thought of it. In terms of, you know, when a car pulls out of your drive, you want them to be able to see where they're going and be able to safely enter the roadway so not to create a potential harm for themselves or anybody else in the area.
Well, I especially think of it because that's me 5 to 6 times a day. You know, I'm working on that car. Well, first off, I have to show up there every day.
Right.
You know, and I have to leave to go home, but during the day I road test 2, 3, 4 cars a day.
And your clients, and then if Arts Auto comes over, or Napa, you know, Bramers comes over, whoever's making deliveries, I understand it.
Yep.
So I guess the really question is how, you know, what is our maximum height of sign?
6 feet. I just looked it up.
Okay, and that's...
To the top?
Yep. No greater than 6 feet in height.
You know, to go along with what your neighbor said there, I bet you haven't looked at prices for signs. You probably could get a sign on the building up on your mansard.
Yeah.
A lighted sign. Wouldn't bother him, and probably be cheaper than a pole sign.
Yeah.
It might especially, and you know, if that conduit, you know, you had mentioned that the other pipe there, there's wires coming out. Well, who knows what's in there and how easy it is to clean that out, and then, of course, you get into the problem of, okay, do I... go to the expensive directional board, this, that, the other thing.
Right.
And these are just ideas.
Right.
These are just simply ideas. And I think, you know, everything's kind of hitting along the right side.
I'm 50-50 on the illumination of my road sign because of that potential that the wire that's there doesn't even work and I'm not, you know.
Well, I wouldn't trust it at all because I tell you right now it's already been stripped off a little bit.
Right.
Just kicking it around in the snow, you can see bare copper.
Yeah.
But then the matter is pulling that out in one piece and being able to get something back in.
But if 6 feet is what's allowed, and that's not, we can't change that, can we?
No.
That's not, can't get a variance on that.
You might have to back the sign off a little bit. Back it up.
Is the residential district to the 6 foot?
Mm-hmm.
How far would we have to back the sign up to change that?
You can't change it. Oh, I'm just saying if you back it up, it might not block people pulling out.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Basically, you end up with a monument sign.
Right.
I didn't think you could have a pole sign there.
Right.
It might be better to put the sign on the building, and that way it isn't facing the neighbor, it's facing toward the road. It's like,
you could have the light on it and everything. It would bother the neighbor. You're close enough to the road that
you can even do those old-time goosenecks that come down into it.
Oh, yeah.
So that goes with the gas station, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would we have to get, or would they have to come in for another variance then?
No.
Okay, I didn't know if we can.
No.
Okay.
He only asked for a 24-foot.
That's all I can have. That's all I can do.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have to come and now and say, hey, now we want it.
That 6x4 or 3x8, that's, you know,
6x4 would need
to look
right up on
pretty significant.
Side.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I realize you said, you know, you're not going to paint lime green, but shocking pink, that really gets a customer now.
Right.
But if you went to the expense of painting your mansard, you know, painting that slope a little something more than the light tan that it is,
right.
You know, I respect that you want to keep the building nice and white and simple. You're not looking to make it some big flashy thing and take away from the fact of what the business is.
Right.
But even if it was, you know, a contrast in color, be it black or red, or, and as you said, you're working with at the site. You said you're working with for your logo, and so incorporating maybe the colors of your logo, you know, which two or three colors at most is maybe that would be your mansard, and you'd have a contrast with your sign. But again, that would, if you went that route, if this is all approved, then neighbors aren't so worried about the sign blocking any views on the building, which they can't see that face from that house.
Right.
It's up. It's illuminated. You certainly can get power in there.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right.
So just, you know.
I think our application.
Just discussing.
I'm sorry. Our application did ask for a sign or signs. We asked for two signs.
Mm-hmm.
So
true.
We'd like to put them where you guys think that, you know, that you suggest. And I know that he's going to be checking with Leslie when he goes to figure out the lighting and that, make sure it complies and, you know.
Well, what I have in here is restricted to 100 watts from all sources. Has to be illuminated lighting, be downcast and shielded.
Yeah.
And does it have that soft white designation? Is that a requirement?
That was the AMA, and we don't have that in our ordinance yet, but most of the people have been doing that.
Okay, because 100 watts of LED lighting can be pretty harsh.
Well done. You can put the soft light requirement in there, that's fine.
Okay.
It isn't really pushing to get a big sign, it's mainly just so people can see it from the low light.
Yes.
We have those halo lights now that are just a faint glow and they're really pretty.
Yeah.
And that's something you might want to think of.
That sounds like what I'm kind of thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to over illuminate this thing, I'm just trying to kind of have it be
like the,
visible.
No,
make
like
it effective.
Millboard by the
right.
T-shirt company up here.
Yeah.
flash. New message, flash.
We'll
I realize that's a billboard, not something else, but.
We'll make sure it doesn't go facing toward the neighbor, or, you know, cause it to stay on the property line where the light goes. It isn't.
Okay. Additional.
I just got one real quick comment. I think this is fine, quite frankly. Someone's got to convince me on this number six of the basic conditions of the self-creation. Because if they're, even though it's non-conforming, and it was there before, so that would have been a self-created situation. Someone just explained.
Well, I wonder if this is just a continuation of a continuing grandfathered.
Well, that's why we're going to, because it was grandfathered, and we didn't back then. So even though that's why we're not going to call it self-created condition. That's why I was.
That's for
too.
Your consideration, but that's.
No, that's where I was laying too. But I just wanted someone to reiterate it. I think I'm, you know,
okay.
It's always good. That's all I need to know.
Generally, those are used for variances that are.
After the fact.
If someone build a deck already,
no,
like the last
right.
one too.
Those rules are used for, help me, distance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Setbacks.
Okay.
They're not used for non-conforming.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a different, it's a whole different thing.
Self-creation.
Yeah.
The whole
thing. Yeah, honestly, I was thinking that the sign was there before, so that was self-created. That's where I was going.
I understand.
So what I'm saying is, you don't have to use that for your motion. What I'm saying is, you can say that you're going to allow
continuing use.
Continuation of a non-conforming use.
Okay, I got. Oh, yeah, that's great.
Sign.
I got you now.
Okay.
Yep.
Any further discussion, or would entertain a motion?
I move to. Yeah, the language.
Yeah, how the language?
Continue the non-conforming
use. To permit the,
But in a new location, not where it previously
was.
Continuation of the non-conforming use of a sign in the residential district.
With the additional sign.
Yeah.
But we're not going to specify a location like we were talking about?
That's not what the request was for.
So if we okay that, though,
they have to apply a sign permit.
Right. Yeah.
To do a sign separately. So this gives them the opportunity to then apply for a sign permit.
And then they have to follow the zoning ordinance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you can add that it can be no larger than 24 square feet. That would help.
Or I was going to say, should we
so
say
so please add that it shall be no greater than 24 feet.
But where are you going to say it's not going to be in a post or pole? I should say.
It's got to meet the ordinance. That's why I said maybe it should
right.
say.
Right. Do you also.
Our ordinance does say you can have it on a pole.
No, it doesn't.
6 foot high?
No.
No, it says you can only be 6 foot high.
It can only be 6 foot high, total.
Unless you want an 18
inch
pole.
Well, it would be a little tiny pole, but.
Okay. Do you want to speak to their request of the up to 15 square feet sign on the building as well? Or was it 25 square feet?
They're both 24.
24, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do you want to add that to your...
That's what the ordinance...
He did that already.
Both signs.
The addition of sign is both no larger than 24 square feet.
Thank you.
For a sign. Anything more than what the ordinance is, right?
They can't get... They can't. What they're asking for is to put signs back out on a non-conforming use.
But don't they have to... You said they have to meet the ordinance for...
Setbacks and stuff.
And also the height of the sign and that kind of stuff. So that...
And that will happen when he comes to get...
But if the sign's on the building, it's taller than the building.
It would be better just to say that it has to, you know, going to allow him, but it's got to meet the sign ordinance for the residential district, is that what it is?
No, I wouldn't do that. That happens when he gets the permit.
Okay.
So can you read back the motion?
I don't have it. Motion by Frank, we didn't get a second.
We hadn't finished yet.
Appeal request 4-18, the continuation of a non-conforming use with the addition of signage, which will be no larger than 24 square feet for each sign.
I would support that.
I'd like to ask a question, I guess.
You may.
So, I mean, we've talked about a sign, you know, on the building. I'd like to paint the window, I guess. That was the one thing. But that's kind of like the secondary. I guess let's talk about the sign. I just want to double check. We've established that if I put the sign out at the road, it can only be 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere you put it.
Anywhere. Well...
Anywhere not on the building.
The building is different.
The building is exception. Okay.
A freestanding sign.
A freestanding sign. Okay.
Yes.
So I guess I just want to double check that if I were talking about one sign, I guess, or I'm thinking of one sign and then painting the window, that's like a separate deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I just want to double check and see if I have the option to still put it out freestanding or... You know, like you guys said, maybe I'll end up going, oh, well, it's a lot cheaper for me to put it on the building. I want to just know a little clarity on that.
Yeah, it's my intent with my motion that I am moving to approve your request for two signs, each sign up to 24 square feet per sign. I'm not telling you where you can put them.
Yeah.
That's the sign permit. That then will say... Okay, now I can do it. Now I've got to apply for my sign permit. And that's when the wherewithal comes in. What we're here resolving is, do you have permission to put up a sign?
Okay. All right.
Now, we have talked about some of these things. You're absolutely right. We have broached the topic, but that helps us get our discussion around to...
Okay.
Do we grant... an approval or a variance to allow this continuation of non-conforming use for two signs.
This is really we're approving the sign and then...
We're approving the sign, then there's a separate process. And so that's where you get
into
the sign permit, and that's when you get into, okay, now if you want to do a freestanding sign, here's this batch of requirements.
Okay.
If you want, and here's one for the window. If you don't want to do the freestanding one because you don't want to be limited to 6 feet in height, or you don't want one there on the ground, and you say, you know what, it'd be a little better if I could get it up a little higher on the building, and then that's where you want to put it, oh, well, then that's fine, too.
Or you can do both.
Right.
Or you could do one on the building, you know, one on the building and one freestanding and not paint your window.
Right.
We're just saying two signs, 24 square feet per sign.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that one's 16 and you take the extra 8 and go and... you know, mix it over there for a total combination. Each one no greater than 24 square feet.
Sure, sounds good.
Whether you do here and here, here and here, here and here.
Okay.
But then that falls into the sign permit, which is the next step once this is okayed.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Please.
I heard you talk a lot about lighting, and we know what you're thinking and what you desire.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you're not... touching on that tonight, so that would be we just follow the lighting is covered by the sign permit. So
I believe that
right,
would be correct.
Right, the sign ordinance, and to reiterate what Mr. Guerin just said, we're simply discussing whether to approve or deny your request, and then if it's approved, whatever you do is subject to the current sign ordinance.
Okay, so. Can I ask what the current sign ordinance are?
Ask me, I got it right.
Okay, all right. I guess, you know, because I started thinking that this would be a standard deal, so.
Okay.
Well, you have two signs up.
Sure. Yep, well, that sounds good. I think we're on the right page here.
Okay, great.
So
we have a motion.
Solid.
And Tracy seconded it.
Yep.
Seconded.
Discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passed. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
I also appreciate your input about what to do about the other stuff.
Very good, sir.
Good deal.
Thank you.
Take care. Be safe out there.
Yeah.
And could we start with our reports, please? Town Board?
Yeah, we had our meeting last night, and of course, we didn't meet last month either. So we approved or moved forward with the two road special assessments, one for English Woods and one for Canterbury Woods. So yeah, Frank's happy. So we're moving. Yes, the bids came in. We saved about $200,000 between both of them. It still is a little higher than what the original estimate was, but for the most part, I think it's good. The Road Commission in English Woods helped us out. Well, they factored in doing extra wide shoulders so they could go up to 30%. Contribution, so that helped, because that one's the little bit more expensive one, so that helped them. And they also took out the tree removal because they're going to do that under their maintenance budget, so that helped both projects about I think they said 5,000 each project, so that was very, very helpful. They've really been working well with us on that. And then the Township Board agreed to do the 10% of the increased cost. I mean, the original approval was to do a 10% contribution of the construction cost and the bonding cost. And they let that stand, even though it was more than what we originally thought. For budget. So we have to work out finding, I think, $30,000 out of the budget for that. But they did let that stand last night. So the projects are moving forward. And so that was a good news. And then, you know, Sue's getting ready for elections in August. They have new election equipment, so there's all new training and all that. Taxes are done, and it actually, I think it was a very good season. We collected a little more than normal. So that was, I think the new law change at the end of the year kind of spurred people to pay their taxes early. So that was good. But other than that, we're kind of just moving on.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Planning Commission, please.
Well, we had a at the corner of Town Line and Hammond Road, the guy wants to rezone that to high-density residential so he can put in a bunch of apartments. Basically, at that meeting, we postponed it, and then at our meeting the other night, we actually denied it. So, actually, we're only recommending to the board because it's going to go to the board, and they'll probably approve it. But
what's that parcel better suited for?
Well, you know, it's
right now it's zoned industrial.
It's zoned industrial. Yeah, it was a mess from the past when we did our master plan years ago. Garfield had that zone, had that master plan for commercial, and so we did. And then after we master planned it for commercial, I believe, then we got into a spot where we didn't have enough as industrial. So we were looking for some places for industrial, and so we zapped that because it was next to theirs. Well, now they changed their master plan, and they're, what are they doing there?
Right now it's mixed business.
Mixed business, but they're planning on changing it to agriculture.
They're planning on, we don't know if they're going to do it.
We don't know what the hell they're going to do with it. That's the problem when you're on a line like that. But it's just such a, the layout of the land to me, to put a whole, you know, bunch of huge buildings on it, it's just going to be ugly as hell. I don't think it's a good use for the property.
I think it'd be better next to your house.
You can have my house. But, you know, I mean, I even think of a decent industrial site would be better than that. I really do. I mean, I know there's some ugly industrial, but anywho, so anyway, we just recommended it to the, it was 5-2 to deny it, to recommend denial to the township board.
Okay.
So we'll see what they do with that. And then the sign ordinance, we are holding on right now because we've got a lot of new stuff coming in, a lot of hotels, and you know, 3 new hotels coming in.
Wow. Whereabouts? Yeah. On the Bay side?
One of them's where, what was the name? Down by Don's Drive-In.
Oh, yeah. Pebblebrook.
Pebblebrook.
Oh, wow.
There were actually two there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, two. I was
one, the other one was Fun Country or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Up by the state park.
Wow.
Yeah. So 3 big, tall hotels.
That's something else.
I mean, they're all, as far as I know, I haven't seen them yet, but they're coming. But it sounds like they're all going to be within the ordinance.
So. The maximum.
Yep.
Yeah. They got to. I mean, the landowners are so expensive. They got to build them up.
How tall is it allowed there?
I don't,
80. On the south side of the road.
I didn't know it was that high. Yeah.
Trying to get them to get off of the.
Were you looking at Tamarack Lodge? That thing's 5 stories high.
That's way more
is
than
it 5 of those 4?
No, it's not.
Reason. No, it's not. Not even
not
close.
Not more than 80.
Not even close.
Thing looks not like even close.
Not even close. I worked on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, not even near. No.
55 or something.
I don't think it's 55. It's 45, isn't it?
45?
I think so.
Yeah, because I remember working on that one.
It's huge.
Oh, it's big, yeah, but...
Yeah, I think what these 80s are going to look like.
I know, that's going to be
especially if
like
they were on the Bay
Park
Block.
Place is going to look like the...
FAA doesn't have a problem with it?
Yeah, what that... Hey,
I don't think that's part
it's
of the...
only 3 stories.
Well, I got to ask you questions.
It's only 3 stories.
Okay.
Yeah, it's close.
It's a hell of a lot of trees
so
gone.
It's probably more like 35.
I know.
35
feet. That's sad.
Because you know, they always measure to the mean of the
road.
Yeah,
it's like a war zone. It's like Battle of
the Bulge. You're seeing higher, but we're figuring...
Yeah. And that was actually the
trailer airport. Park is one thing. Those houses right behind there, right along.
I used to tell the people every time I sit in my office, they just yell at the zoning administrator all day long. And then the nasty things they write about them on Facebook and whatever the other stuff is. You know, there's so many of those things. Yeah.
Yep.
Really.
But anyways, there's another. It's just nasty. I mean, for 3 hours a day, I just hear. Rah, 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 and just, then you all run to the supervisors, and he says, "It wasn't us. It wasn't us. It was all the you know."
I have one question here. When we were talking to Ryan earlier, his original plan was he wanted to keep the business looking dated. You know what I mean?
Vintage.
He wanted retro. Vintage. That's why he wanted to put up a
pole sign.
And he actually wanted to do what Frank said with the lights hanging over, shining out like he did in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way in the ordinance that he could do that?
He can come back for a variance.
He can get a variance for the height of the pole?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you couldn't do that.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah.
You can get any kind of dimensional variances.
Yeah. Sure. It wasn't advertised for tonight, so we couldn't.
That's what you guys are talking about. I thought he can't do it. Yeah, no, he didn't.
Well, he didn't. But when we were down there talking, he mentioned it to me a couple times. You know, if you stand back and look at this, it's an old-fashioned gas station. I'd like to go after that look, you know.
And it's a neat idea, and they did say freestanding illuminated sign in their request, mm-hmm.
but they didn't speak to the height.
Right. That's Bob's problem.
But see,
Bob, it's your fault.
That's why I didn't understand what we did. What we did was we approved a variance so that he could have a sign.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, so now if he wants to have a sign that doesn't fit the ordinance, he has to get a different variance.
Yeah,
you got it.
All right.
That's why I thought they had to come back for that, but that's what I meant because they were going to deviate from the original.
So he should. You
now it's all coming.
I will.
He might be.
He really wants it.
He might have been a little premature in coming.
I think when he sees how expensive signs are, he's going to say, "Ooh, maybe I'll get a 12-foot sign," because they are not cheap.
No.
No.
So anyway, that's about all for me.
That'd be an intriguing request. What if there's some kind of study that's safer to have a taller sign than a... You know what I'm saying?
Well, personally, I thought his request was spot on.
Yeah, I thought, well, I'm just saying, if someone came up with some kind of opinion that it's a safer condition, that'd be an interesting variance request.
What I also respect, though, is that lighting and how do you define what that has to be precisely so that everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do they call those photometric studies? Is that what the,
yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember those?
Yeah. Put candles, you go around with a light meter.
One, can't be more than 10.
Then you gotta establish, okay, well, you know, are you going to really bust my chops? Is that really daylight you're doing it?
Or
you got to do it in the middle of the night? And
yeah.
Is it a new moon or is it a full moon? Is it the blue moon?
I know.
Is it a super moon? Is it a super blue moon? A
lot of variables.
Is it a harvest moon? Here's my moon. Moon you. Sorry.
Last meeting we talked about briefly at the end, even after we adjourned, about changing the actual meeting time.
We did.
Because we changed the site review time.
Yeah.
And we talked about changing it to 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But Leslie brought up a good point. If we have 4 requests,
we wouldn't make it.
We wouldn't make it back here by 6 o'clock.
No.
Even starting at 5.
By 6:30, but you know.
We've got excellent history that we absolutely wouldn't make it with 3 or 4.
Right. So I don't know that we really want to change that. But I just, Leslie asked that we clarify it tonight.
Well, I think that's fine. We should stay at 6:30, but you should bring cookies.
Okay. I should bring cookies?
There was a couple of
I'm on fruit and veggies, guys. I don't know that cookies are on the agenda.